This podcast is brought to you by Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. You comfortable?
Yep. I've got a cushion under my bum.
Hi, everyone. Charlotte's just getting herself comfortable, ready for an episode. This is the 26th episode of the podcast. Do you know that?
No, but I do now.
You do now. So does everybody else. What are we going to talk about today? Sort of marks, no, it doesn't mark the start of a series of episodes about decor because we've already done aisle style, haven't we?
We have.
So if you haven't listened to that episode yet and you're thinking about how you're going to style the aisle, you can go back and listen to that. That was series one, episode five. You can find it on the show notes. We're hoping that every few weeks we're going to be able to cover a new element of decor, aren't we?
Yeah.
From flowers to outside decor, to lighting, et cetera, et cetera. And what we're going to talk about today, Charl?
We're going to talk about wedding breakfast decor. So more specifically, your table, mm-hmm. What goes on the table, mm-hmm. The chairs surrounding the table. Because actually, it's quite a lot that goes on, isn't
there? There is quite a lot. And it's all like one big table package, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Okay. So shall we start by talking about the chairs?
Yes. Can I just say to the listeners out there, I realise how this sounds. Yeah. Listen to this great podcast. Was it about just chairs?
They talked about plates.
But you have to think about these things.
You do have to think about all these things.
In fact, if you have ever read the Rock My Wedding book, Your Day Away, I dedicated a whole double spread, which my editor at the time was like, really?
Okay,
to having literally a picture, a round table, mm-hmm. and then all the items that are on it, mm-hmm. and labels explaining what they were, so that the reader could get a really good idea of the layout, how many things have to go on it. Actually, it can be quite cramped.
Yeah. And when your wedding venue asks you if you want a charge plate or something, and you don't know what that is, well, you need to know, don't you?
And then you have a charger plate for every single plate and then another plate and a side plate.
Yeah.
And a wine glass and a tumbler and a champagne glass and 15 forks. I mean, that's a lot of stuff on your table. Where's the room for the centrepiece?
Exactly. And the wine. Don't forget the wine. Okay, so let's start with the chairs. We've not lost our minds, we promise. We presume that these days most venues have nice chairs, don't we?
Yeah.
Because when I got married, there was not nice chairs.
Ditto.
Mine were black and blue. Nice. Mm-hmm. But these days you don't really have to worry about the whole chair cover debacle.
No, and the most common chairs that venues have is that very sort of like whitewashed wood.
Yeah.
Spindly.
Yes.
And the the bit where you put your bum.
Yeah, the seat.
The seat bit is often, like I say, like a natural linen.
Yeah, they're very inoffensive, aren't they?
Neutral, blend into the background. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes.
But if your venue just have crappy chairs, then you can always hire those sort of chairs in.
Yeah.
And then you shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
With that.
And speak to your venue about it.
Yeah.
Say, have you got an alternative?
Yeah.
And can I hire chairs in?
Yes.
And who's going to sort that out?
Do that.
For me.
Yes.
When they arrive, etc.
So we've just said that your chairs are probably absolutely fine as they are, but you can use your chairs to add an extra element of decor to your table. You know, perhaps you don't want too much on the actual table, which is something we would advise and we'll get to a little bit later in the episode. But you still want the impression of there being some really gorgeous decor. There are a few options open to you when it comes to using your chairs. In the show notes, you can find links to weddings that show all these sorts of options as well. I'll be honest, there's going to be a lot of weddings in these show notes because we've had some just cracking table decor over the years.
I've seen
struggled to narrow it down.
It's long.
It's long. I've tried to make it very diverse and full of different seasons and, you know,
budgets
and all of that sort of thing. So hopefully there's something in there to inspire everybody. Anyway, flowers is an obvious one.
Yes.
And again, somewhere where you can possibly repurpose. So you might decorate the ends of your chairs in your ceremony room.
Yep. So at the end of each, like, line.
Maybe one or two at the end of each line. And then can you move those chairs into your wedding breakfast?
Yeah.
So two birds, one stone.
Yep. Or if you're having chairs in your ceremony as a bride and groom, mm-hmm. you may have a chair.
You might, yeah.
So as all your guests in the ceremony are looking at the back of your chairs,
yeah,
it might be nice to have something a bit swishy and fancy
on absolutely.
Them. Like a garland. Mm-hmm. Then you can repurpose, as you were saying earlier, those particular chairs and have them as your chairs for the wedding breakfast.
Absolutely. And you could try and work it so that in your ceremony, you've got enough chairs with flowers on that when you move them to your wedding breakfast, it's like every other chair or something. So you've Do you know what I mean? You're coordinating what the design of your room's going to look like from like real start to finish. But we're all up for that repurposing. Wherever you can do that, absolutely try and do it. It's going to save you money in the long run. And
Less landfill.
Less landfill. And less time, really. It means your florist only has to set up one set of chairs and then that all just gets moved through to the other room.
All you need to do, speak to your venue, make sure they know exactly what the plan is.
Yeah. Another popular thing we see a lot is people adding signs to the back of the chairs. So Mr. and Mrs., Mr. and Mr., Mrs. and Mrs., et cetera, et cetera. And again, they can be moved into your wedding breakfast room. But I think just bear in mind with that, unless your seats are like in the middle of the room, once you've moved to your wedding breakfast, no one's going to see that sign, are they? So it's, you need to think about your setup for things like that. Like the flowers, it's different.
And I know examples of where that's happened before.
Yeah.
So if you think about your positioning, so say if you're having quite a traditional head table.
Yeah.
So like my head table, for example, our backs face the back wall.
Yeah, same.
So anything that was on the back of my chairs would have been a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
So make sure that if you're going to spend money and spend time, that people can actually see it.
Yeah. So what if you've already maxed out on your flower budget? You could use ribbons. Mm-hmm. And there's different effects you can create with ribbons. So you were saying about the most common chairs now being sort of those spindly ones. Mm-hmm. So you can sort of interlace the ribbon around the back of the chair, add quite a statement to it, and also loop the ribbons over the top. Also, when I'm talking about ribbons, I don't just mean like a nylon ribbon you can get from your local market. There's so many different types of ribbon to create different effects. So you could use a raw silk or something like that, which is much softer, more floaty, a bit more delicate. Again, links to loads of weddings with examples of those in the show notes, so everybody can have a good look and see, oh, I think that would suit my wedding, or oh yeah, those bright nylon ones would actually suit my wedding really well, or whatever your theme is. Another thing to consider is you could potentially have different chairs to everybody else if you want to make a bit of a statement about, you know, centre of attention and all
that. Well, yeah.
When my friend got married, her and her new husband sat on thrones.
Why not?
Because she thinks she's Victoria Beckham.
If you can't do it that day.
She didn't have the crown, but you know, she did have the throne. But it's just a way of adding another element to the decor.
Yeah.
I think that's all about chairs. There's not too much you can really say about a chair. Chair's a chair, isn't it?
It is.
Should we talk about table linen next?
Yes, let's.
So by table linen, I mean cloths, runners, napkins, any linen-based products that you might put on your table.
And again, venues will have very plain linens, usually a white or ivory tablecloth, same napkins, not necessarily providing table runners at all.
Yes. Unlikely, I think, isn't it, that they provide table runners. Obviously, you might have beautiful tables which you just want to leave as they are.
Like a natural wood or something.
Yes, something like that.
And of course, if you've got a trestle table and not a round table, then the likelihood is there will be a natural wood. And to try and put a tablecloth on one of those would be quite the challenge.
Yes.
So table runners, basically, is how that would work for that particular style of table.
Yeah. You can still style your table without a tablecloth, like you say, using the napkins, the runners, etc. Let's get into that a bit more about how you can actually do that. So bear in mind that the linen that you use can completely transform the whole look of your room. Mm-hmm. So we've just said about having, you know, normally it's a white tablecloth or whatever. If you imagine changing all those white tablecloths to a pale blue tablecloth, the whole look of your room is going to be entirely different. Mm-hmm. So really think about if you want to go for some sort of colour or texture or embroidery or something like that on your tablecloth, how it's going to have an impact on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is the room big enough to take all of that? All of those elements.
And it depends like what's important to you. If you love fabrics and textures, like you were just saying, and if you think about, say, I don't know, you want to invest in hiring some embroidered tablecloths, then that massively reduces the requirement for flowers.
We've had weddings before where we've seen full-on sequin tablecloths, which, you know, just look amazing. Yeah. And actually, like you say then, you don't need so much to go on top.
A few candles, and that is all you need.
Yeah. If you have a very plain tablecloth, but you want to vamp it up, we just talked about adding a runner to it. You generally will see a runner on a trestle table, so the long, thin tables, but you can have them on round tables as well. There's no hard and fast rule about not being able to use them on a round table. And runners will come in lots of different types of fabric, so you can really create a feel depending on what sort of fabric you go for.
Yeah.
Let's run through some fabric options, shall we, maybe? Mm-hmm. And then people will have an idea of what to ask for based on the sort of feel they want to create.
Yeah, and the look and the theme.
and all of those things. So satin is a very smooth fabric made of silk. Can occasionally look a bit shiny. So just be careful on the type of satin you go for. Mm-hmm. But if you want that sort of looksy sort of feel, you could go down the satin route. And the same with chiffon. That's also made of silk, but sometimes it can come in a nylon. It's one of those, you want to feel these things as well. Because when you feel them, that helps you understand how it's going to look when it's all draped and all of those sorts of things. So just check if you want the silk or the nylon chiffon version. It's really lightweight and it's got an element of transparency to it. So you get that drapey, soft vibe from chiffon. Again, some cracking examples of that on the show notes. You could look at a brocade fabric, which is where silk's woven and that gives the fabric a little bit of texture. So it's not a lot of texture, but it just gives a tiny little bit of something, adds a little bit more dynamic to the runner. You could look at velvet.
Which is very in interiors.
Isn't it? Just. So, I mean, everybody knows what velvet is. It's got that really luxe element to it. It's soft. It's warm. Even whatever colour you have velvet in it, it looks warm because it's got that texture to it. Obviously, there's cotton, which is fairly informal. So, again, for your more laid back, back garden-y type weddings and things like that, a normal cotton would be nice. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really too luxe about cotton. It's not really giving off any sort of glamorous vibes, but it works really well for more low-key paired back weddings. Linen is also a really nice choice. If you're having a rustic-y sort of wedding, we all know linen's got that nice texture to it, but it's lightweight, it's not too heavy, and you can usually get linen in a lot of shades as well.
Similarly, muslin.
Yes.
Which we've had in quite a few shoots, actually.
Yeah.
Because that's very easy to style.
Yeah, and manipulate. And yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great shout. And previously I'd mentioned raw silk when I was talking about the ribbons for the back of the chairs. It's got a really lovely movement to it. So if you're having quite a classic whimsically type of wedding,
you can like ruffle it up.
You can ruffle it and it looks so soft, and you've got your vases or whatever it is you might have on your table. You can sort of drape it like around them. Do you know what I mean? So it's all really soft and light and feathery and dreamy. Like raw silk is really good for
that. Ethereal.
Thank you.
We're going to use all the words.
Thank you. And then the last obvious one is lace. Because lace looks great as a table runner, especially if that's part of your whole aesthetic.
Yeah.
Then why not go for that? Yes, exactly.
Tie it all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your veil, all that sort of thing. It can all tie, the lace can just tie it all together. I hope that's really helpful and has given you all some idea of the names of these types of fabrics. When you see them, you've now got an idea of, oh, that might be raw silk or whatever. And to give you an idea of the sort of cost for these items, this is very, you know, just from one supplier, but to give you an idea. We have a supplier on the list called SAS Weddings, where you can hire some of these items. So for example, they will hire out chiffon drapes for chair backs for £3. A chiffon table runner will cost you £10 to rent from then. So that gives you an idea of the sort of cost you'd be looking at.
10 tables, 100 quid.
Yeah.
But again, that might negate some requirement for lots and lots of flowers. So it might work out cheaper overall.
Exactly. So do a bit of research on these things. Have a look at all those weddings on the show notes and see if a runner is your thing or not. If it's not, another way that you can help bring colour to your tables, bring some texture in, is through your napkins. So you mentioned already that you'll probably be provided with a white napkin from your venue. But your napkins don't have to be white.
You're going
to
fold it. You're going to roll it.
You are.
You're going to tie it up with some string or some ribbon.
Yeah.
Are they going to have those fancy, shiny silver ring jobs that you can put over them?
They might do, might they? You might have your little favours put on there. You might have another bit of piece of decor on there, you know, a flower or, or a sprig of eucalyptus, which we know is very popular. And also, they're not only a place for you to add interesting things to, the napkins themselves can be interesting. So we see ColourPop napkins, ombre dyed napkins, all manner of things, which really are so subtle, but just really set the table decor off.
Yeah.
I know I keep going on about them, but in the show notes, there's weddings where all those things are shown. So bright napkins, patterned napkins, all those sorts of napkins under the sun. Who knew? I was going through the archives and I was thinking, whoa, we have some really talented and creative couples over the years, because some of the things I just think look so good. How do you come up with the idea of that for your table design? Anyway, you'll see for yourself when you visit the show notes. So next, let's talk tableware, as in glasses, crockery, cutlery.
Shall we go through what is a basic table setup?
Let's do that.
What's on the table? Basic round table, 8 place settings.
Yeah, that's,
you would have,
that's a good number, isn't it? Yeah. 8, because 10's a bit, ooh, you're a bit squashed. Ooh,
yeah.
We do like an 8-seater.
In the middle,
yeah,
is whatever you choose for your centrepiece.
Yes.
You would then have 8 dinner plates.
Yeah.
8 side plates.
You would.
You would have a starter fork and a main fork.
You would.
And also a dessert fork and spoon.
Okay, yes.
At the top of the plate.
Yes, I'm still with you.
You would have your starter knife and main knife. You would have a red wine glass.
Yeah.
A white wine glass.
Mm-hmm.
A champagne flute.
Yes.
And a tumbler.
For water.
Yes. Then, of course, you've got your napkins and potentially favours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you see where I'm going with this?
I can see where you're
going. There is
a
lot of stuff.
There's a lot going on.
If you've then got a charger plate underneath your dinner plate, and they do look good because they just add some colour and texture and
they're a really
different
good
things
way
to
of
your,
doing that.
Then you have to make sure that you've got the room.
Absolutely.
For that as well.
Which is why 8's better than 10.
Yes. You can obviously combine some of these things. So, for example, you could place the napkin on the side plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could tie that napkin up, as we've just mentioned, with twine or ribbon or a sprig of something
rosemary,
green and lovely.
Yeah.
And that means that you're saving space, but you're also able to add your personal touches in there as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think other things that are like ad hoc to what goes on the table, depending obviously on what sort of food you have and all that sort of thing, is like butter dishes and condiments.
And the actual wine itself.
Place names, the water jug.
The table number.
All of these things. It's a lot of stuff.
And if you want to buy the book, Your Day, Your Way, available from Amazon and all good bookstores, you can refer to page 172 and 173.
There you go.
Which explains all of this in detail.
Yes. Treat yourself. Why not?
It's just because I really want to be on the QVC channel one day and I'm hoping that someone's going to spot my talent from the podcast and invite me.
I think you're, you know, 3/4 of the way there.
I'd like to do a challenge for selling something really absurd.
Would you? I wonder if we can hook that up. Do you think anyone from QVC is listening? If you are, Charlotte's up for the challenge. Okay, so you've mentioned that we have potentially a charger plate. You've got your dinner plate, your side plate. Will they just be white? Or are you going to use your crockery to bring a bit of personality to your table?
Well, there's plenty of hire companies.
Loads.
Again, you know, and you can have anything from mismatched china to super, super glam.
Yes. You can scour charity shops, vintage shops for amazing crockery if you want to go for a bit of a mismatched thing.
Yeah, and a lot of what we're talking about is venue-based, isn't it? But of course, you might be completely planning your own back garden wedding or you've hired a free space somewhere and having teepees or whatever it might be, or a marquee.
Yeah.
And then essentially this kind of like the world's your oyster, isn't it? With regards to
literally
what you hire in and how you want everything to look.
Yeah, definitely. Another good way to add some colour and interest your table decor is through coloured glassware.
Yes.
So wine glasses, water bottles, the tumblers could be a different colour. And they don't have to be like wild multicoloured glasses. I mean, they can be if you want them to be, but they don't have to be. I remember when we went to Adam's wedding, Adam is our creative director, they had really subtle blush coloured glassware.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
And it looks so lovely. Just added a bit of warmth to the table instead of it being so stark.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember those. I thought they looked really, really effective. So that's another thing to consider. Again, you could go collecting or you could hire those in. He also had, while we're on the subject of his wedding, which was gorgeous, and obviously in the show notes, that's Lizzie and Adam's wedding if you want to see what Adam looks like. He had ombre candles on his tables as well. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. They were like blushy, coppery sort of ombre.
Oh.
Yeah. They were really nice. So you need to go to the show notes too, Charlotte, and refresh your memory.
Remind myself.
And then there's cutlery, which sort of finishes off this section of tableware. You're likely to be provided with a bog standard silver cutlery from your venue, which, or catering company, whoever it is, if you're hiring people in, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of these things where you can change that and you don't have to have the silver. You can hire in gold, bronze, black.
Just one practical note here, please.
Yes, go on.
Please. Do make sure you check the actual cutlery if you're hiring in.
Okay.
Because I know a little story.
Is there a story here?
There's a story here where, and this is what you have to be careful of with this thing, is it's not all style over substance because people actually have to use the cutlery.
That's very true.
And there was an example where the main knife was really a butter knife.
Oh.
And they had steak.
Oh, dear.
How
no steak knives?
No.
Oh.
Well, because they didn't come in copper, did they?
Oh, right, yeah.
So then they had to go and get these great big steak knives. That's all that was available from the venue.
That's such a good tip to think about and, what you're actually eating.
You know.
Oh, wow. Okay, noted. Okay, so we've covered chairs, linens, and tableware. The next thing to look at that you may have on your table is your stationery.
Mm-hmm.
So what stationery might you find on your table? So table number or name, which we've mentioned, place cards, which we have also mentioned, menus. You may also have some ad hoc things. Often we will see sparklers. People put their sparklers for later on their table yeah. settings, which sort of double up as a bit of a piece of decor because they often have a piece of paper to go along with it to explain that you'll be lighting your sparklers at 7:30 or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're providing some sort of like mini quiz for your guests to keep them occupied during the dinner. Or perhaps you have implemented a speech kitty where everyone throws in a pan and guesses how long the speeches are going to be. You might have paper or whatever it is for that. Also on that note, that speech kitty should go back to the bride and groom.
Yeah, just FYI.
We know
if,
that...
if you win...
Don't be greedy.
And there's 200 guests and you've got 200 quid.
Yeah.
Buy a round of drinks.
Yeah, shop for everybody.
Or buy a nice bottle of champagne for the
yeah.
bride and groom.
Yeah, needs just to go saying. Back into the wedding. Just you saying. Know, a bit of a wedding mm-hmm. etiquette there for all you guests that are listening. Okay, so aside from having table names or numbers that match your stationery, so you could have those, you know, printed as you would with the rest of your stationery, you can also make a bit more of your table names or mm-hmm. your numbers. So we've seen names and numbers ranging from ideas like spray painting wooden numbers. Obviously with spray paints, it's a great way to go because you can make it really fit your theme. So you can get more industrial sort of spray paints, more pastel coloured spray paints, all those sorts of things. We've had acrylic signs that could be like the underground. All these amazing ideas that people have used and to also, make their table yeah, names.
And from a budget perspective as well.
Yeah.
If you are paying for a stationer to do everything for you.
Yeah.
There's ways that you can combine everything. So yes. menu, you don't need to give everyone on the table a menu. You yeah. could just have one menu in the middle of the table that everyone can sort of pass around.
Yep. Every other seat.
Yep. You could have your place name, which could have the menu on it, or yep. you could have some kind of decor that is the name of the table rather than having
yep.
a number that's done in a certain way, that's again, right. which negates the need for other kind of decor.
Yeah. Again, there's examples of this in the show notes. You know, people are using like mini flags, all sorts of things, which really just does add that extra element.
Yeah. And it's thinking about, okay, how do I personalize it?
Yeah.
How do I make it fit into my budget and provide all of the information to my guests that is required?
That's right. Yeah. And I think if you're struggling to think of how to display your table number, your table name, or your place card. Mm-hmm. A great way to decide how to decorate your table is to think seasonally as well, which can help you come up with some great ideas. I mean, we've seen things from summer weddings with lemons with names pinned into them, mm-hmm. which again is in the show notes. For autumn weddings, we've had people use pine cones to display their place cards.
Yeah.
All these little ideas, when you sit down and you think about the season, it can really inspire you with some really great ingenious ideas. So if you're struggling with a theme, just think seasonally about what's available mm-hmm. at the time that you're getting married and what will work. And you know, if it's a winter wedding, maybe you want snow globes or something like that. You can get really creative with seasonal decor. And the other thing is, as we've said before, is your wedding should really reflect your personality. So think about the things you enjoy, you know, the things that mean something to
like
you.
Like music.
Like maybe you're into board games. Perhaps you could use Scrabble tiles for your guest names.
Or vinyl.
Or vinyl if you're really into music. All these little things. Just really think about yourself and what means something to you. And that will really help you come up with the themes and the decor.
Let's talk about centerpieces.
The main event.
Now, just a small caveat.
Yep.
They need their own podcast, really.
Yeah, they really do.
Because there's so many different options and varieties. And
yeah.
we do more of these episodes that are more specific to ideas and creativity mm-hmm. rather than practical planning.
Yeah.
Whereas this episode is more about practical planning.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Centerpieces. You have to work out how much room you have.
Indeed.
I've been to a couple of weddings. where the brides have said the opposite of what you might think I'm about to say is not that they took up too much room.
Right.
But that they didn't have enough.
Oh, right.
Bits and the bobs.
Oh, right. They felt it was too sparse.
To fill the space.
Okay.
Now, this will depend on the other items you have on your table.
Yeah.
How big your table is.
Yeah.
Which is why I would always recommend, if you are booking a venue, or indeed if you are hiring tables for your marquee or teepee or whatever it is, to have a demonstration or go to a wedding fair, if it's a venue, and see for yourself the size and dimensions of that table, how they set up the chairs, how they set up the plates and forks and all the rest of it, and knives and spoons, just so you don't think I'm suggesting that you just have a fork, although you can if you want because your day away. That's what I was saying. So you have a look at the table in its entirety so that you understand how much room there is.
Yeah, makes sense.
So went to a wedding, each table had a different centerpiece.
Oh, nice.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
Because again, you might have lots of ideas and not be able to decide on one.
Yeah.
So have 10.
Love that. Why not?
And this particular wedding had all different types of silverwares, like goblets and things like that from antiques shops that they'd scoured. Lots of amazing books because they really into books.
Cool.
And amongst all the silverware and books were different sort of bud vases and things like that.
Right.
But they just felt they didn't have quite enough to fill the space.
Right, okay.
Which brings me on nicely to you. How do you fill the space? So, if you're really into florals and you are relying heavily on your florist, it is good to have a florist that either is familiar with your venue.
Yeah.
Or they at least go and see the space that you've got.
Yeah.
If you read the book, Your Day Away. I'm so sorry. I've mentioned this so many times in this podcast.
How dare you
wasn't
plug
supposed
your
to be
own
like
book?
A plug sales thing, but that's just the way it's panned out. Then you will see lots of different ideas for centerpieces and the way that we have styled it, which might give you some ideas for your own wedding.
Yeah.
You do not have to have the same centerpiece for each table.
You do not, no.
To make your room have lots of interest, you could consider having different heights.
Yeah.
So a low centerpiece, high centerpieces.
Yeah.
Thing about high centerpieces is, Becky, that...
Just be careful you're not blocking the view across the table.
Because, somebody you else. Know, you have this
There's
massive...
more annoying.
You know, massive wide thing and you can't see Dave.
Yeah. And you know, you don't want to run
the
risk...
He might have a lot of jokes.
Yeah. You don't want to run the risk of one of your guests trying to... Shift your centerpiece
Which
out the way a bit.
Which we've also seen happen.
So, yeah.
Just saying.
It's just being aware that if you do put some sort of big pillar in the middle of your table,
you could
it's
have
gonna restrict
the pillars.
You. And it also might restrict some of your guests being able to see you. If you've got that sort of typical layout of top table at the back of the room, it's going to restrict some guests from being able to see you when you're doing speeches and things like that. So it's just being careful of the varying height. It might get in the way of photographers, videographers.
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
And also, if you have got your bits and your bobs in all different, people might move them aside.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, your goblets and your vases to one side.
Yeah.
You've got your books to this side. And then you've just got Dave's face in the middle.
He's such an attention seeker, isn't he?
I know.
Grief.
When we say you've not got enough, I don't want to worry people.
Yeah.
As in you have to spend loads of money. You have to have 500 things on your table. It really is about looking at that space and working out how for you personally you can incorporate your personality in there, the things that you like, whether that's, you know, you really want to concentrate on the stationery or the flowers.
And you can do all those things without having to have a full table. I know we see a lot of trestle tables that, you know, the decor runs the whole length of the table down the center, and there's a lot.
You can have little clusters.
You can do it in small clusters. That's sort of how I did mine, because I had trestle tables and I did mine rather than running the whole length. I had books and teapots and vases and things on my table centerpieces. And I just did sort of five clusters going down the table rather than having it that full, heavy, which looks amazing, obviously, but you're then looking at it costs you more money. You've got less space for your salt and pepper and all those little
your
things.
Your wine glass.
Yeah.
And priorities.
Yes, of course. Sometimes more isn't more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes less is more. And we've got some amazing examples of that as well.
We have. And in terms of bud vases, single stems, they never go out of fashion. Like they never do. You can pick seasonal flowers and or foliage, depending on when you're getting married.
Yeah.
It is very, very reasonable.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're doing a DIY wedding, you can literally, you can do it yourself. You can.
And we've got a tutorial actually, haven't we?
Yes. That's fairly recent. So we're going to link that in the show notes.
Yeah.
So Lisa, who used to do all of our DIY tutorials, she did this like beautiful example, actually in her own back garden.
Yeah. It just shows how it's simple and straightforward.
Table, so it shows you just how easy it is, exactly. Yeah.
Another really great example of where less is more and not overdoing it works really well is Laura and Richard's winter wedding, which, again, is on the show notes. She will be the bride in the red dress, which is something we see very rarely, but done so, so well. And you can see how they've achieved a really subtle and inexpensive but luxury-looking table design with very, very minimal stuff.
A way to make a big impact is to have a hanging installation.
Yes.
Now, these are twofold because you literally can have them hanging from the ceiling.
You can.
If you've got a marquee or venues that allow this.
Yeah.
So please check before.
They're obviously going to need some sort of rigging or
don't
something.
Assume.
Yeah.
Or you can have an installation where the florist provides the technical term, but almost like a standing up pole. So literally on your table, you have very, very inobtrusive standing up poles that have a bar across the top where you would have your florals and or foliage.
That's right.
And then you have a completely free table.
And it looks so good. We have two examples on the show notes of this where they've used almost rectangular stands, if you like. They're metal. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that underneath those is some sort of bar, like you say, and then the florist has just installed the flowers atop that. So you can see everything because there's nothing getting in the way of your vision. And it looks so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not in the way of anybody either.
No.
You can see straight across the table. Yeah, really, really impressive. And a great way of getting that same aesthetic of a hanging installation, but without having to actually hang anything. Yeah, if that's something that really intrigues you, when you go to the show notes to look at all the weddings, there is an inspiration shoot called Naked Teepee. So they feature in that. And there is another inspiration shoot called Fairy Tale Wedding Inspiration. So you can see examples of what we're talking about. I realise that decor is a very visual thing.
Yeah.
So it's difficult.
It's quite challenging
about
in a podcast.
Yeah, for people to actually visualise what we're talking about is quite tricky. But I promise literally every single thing we're talking about, there is an example on the show notes for you.
And it's all relative as well, like determined by what is important to you. So if you're really into flowers and that's where your spend is going to go, do it on an installation. Because if you're using the same room for your wedding breakfast as you are for your evening entertainment, for example, whether that's a marquee or the particular room in a venue that you've chosen, the installations can stay there.
Oh, yeah.
For the whole duration.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have a freestanding centerpiece in the middle of a table and those tables get moved.
Oh, quite, yeah.
Those centerpieces don't become part of your evening entertainment, then, do they?
And
because
it's one of
they
those
get
things,
shipped off somewhere else.
Yeah, and if you've got something like this tall sort of installation we're talking about, or the hanging installation, you can also install lights into it. So actually when it goes darker, they become another feature. You know, you can switch them on. And that's, that same goes for actual on-the-table centerpieces as well. It's another element to think about decor into the evening. This is not just for the day. It adds an element of, you know, another element of light so people can see what's going on the table and just creates that atmosphere, doesn't it?
And also, again, it's seasonal, isn't it? Because if you're having a winter or an autumn wedding, obviously it gets darker much quicker.
Yeah.
So then light is much more important.
Absolutely.
You're having, you know, a June wedding, it's light till 10 p.m.
Yeah. Okay, so what about the more eco-conscious amongst us?
Now then. Because we love a dual purpose item.
Oh, we do.
So you could have your centerpiece as homegrown herbs.
Indeed.
Lots of greenery.
Yeah.
All your guests can take some home.
And also with herbs, you're adding
fragrance.
Fragrance, like a whole other dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, I mean, thyme, we know floral smell really nice, but some,
exactly.
They can be really strong scents sometimes, which can just, again, add to the whole immersive experience of your wedding.
Absolutely. Succulents.
Yeah.
small, small, small pots.
Yeah.
Teeny very little tiny, pots. Tiny, teeny succulents all grouped together.
Yeah.
Again, repurpose as a favour.
Exactly.
Take one home.
Yeah. They look really effective, don't they? Especially when you say like the smaller, and you can sort of have varying heights of small, and then everyone can take one back with them when they leave.
Absolutely.
Another wedding that has always stuck with me, at my wedding, they had edible centerpieces.
Oh.
So I will read a quote from the wedding and it will make sense to you as to why it was edible. It was from Minerva and Eric's wedding, and they had lots of, like you've just said, herbs, and had lavender and things like that that people could take away with them at the end of the day. But on some of the tables, they had crates that were filled with vegetables.
Oh.
I know that sounds really bizarre. Again, a very visual thing. I promise you it looked amazing. And they said, guests are invited to snack on centerpieces during the reception and take the plants home to plant in their gardens. As a dietitian, Minerva wanted people to have healthy snacks available during the wedding. There were chili peppers, artichokes, nectarines, apples, radishes, basil, mint, and carrots, all which came together so beautifully. And honestly, all these things were creatively put together in crates and they looked amazing. And then the idea is that you just, you know, grab a carrot if the mood should so take you.
It's so clever, isn't
and
it?
And literally, you're left with no waste, and people take, like you were saying about herbs, you can take them home, you can plant them, you can keep them on your kitchen windowsills or all those sorts of things.
And if you think about it as well, like so many favours from not that long ago, if you think about it, almost like people did it for the sake of it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not reused. No. They're not. And
you've again, got small organza bags that are just then put in the bin.
You're just adding to landfill.
Yeah.
Which Absolutely. We don't support.
No.
So if you want to give somebody something to take away with them, either make it something that's really, really personal that they are going to keep forever and that you think is important to you.
Yeah.
Or make it something that they can grow.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I would love that.
Yeah.
Even like a packet of seeds.
Well, it's
your
really...
your favourite flowers.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. They can grow it in their garden. And that is the memory of your wedding. And that's amazing.
Yeah. So let's just recap what we've covered. Obviously, we've just mentioned it, this is a very visual thing. So it's really important that everyone goes and has a look at least some of the weddings on the show notes to give them some inspiration. There's also some very specific articles on the show notes about place settings for weddings and what each guest needs and just general styling tips for how to design your wedding breakfast. And then obviously you've mentioned the book. There's loads of styling tips for the wedding breakfast in there as well. So if you want to get that, like you've mentioned, you can. Aside from that, we have talked about chairs. If you're not happy with the ones supplied by your venue, remember you can hire them in to better suit your theme.
Or you can decorate the existing ones to make them look a lot better.
Yeah. We suggest flowers or ribbons are really easy ways of doing that as well. You don't have to have your venue's tablecloths. Again, similarly to the chairs, if you want to really change the look of your room, consider adding colour or texture with your tablecloths. You can hire those in.
And runners.
And runners. We talked about the varying types of materials you can get to create different looks with your table runners. Runners also are a great alternative to tablecloths if you don't have the budget to do both. So remember, if you've just got a plain tablecloth but you want to zhuzh it up a little bit, a table runner is a great way of doing that.
And if you're happy with the surface of your table, if it's a very natural wood or perhaps it's, I don't know, some venues have all sorts of exciting things like concrete, whatever it might be, and you have a charger plate so you're not people... are not chucking their food over the table when they've had a few, just saying, happens, then that's an alternative as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like you say, feel free to keep your table as it is. If it's a beautiful, natural wooden table, may not need runners or any of that stuff on there. Don't forget your napkins. If you don't want to make as big of a statement as a fully coloured tablecloth, you may want to add some extra colour or texture with alternative napkins.
Embroidery.
Embroidery.
Lace.
Lace.
Nice little fringing.
Ombre. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. And then remember that your stationery will add an extra element of decor. So we said you could do this using place cards. So the cards themselves add to the decor, anything that they're on. So whether that be a cork or a pine cone or any of the other things that we've mentioned. And menus as well. So you mentioned previously it could be menus in the middle of the table, every place setting. Great example of how a menu's been used to add to the decor of the table is Lisa and Chris's wedding. So they will be in the show notes too. So if you're trying to think about your stationery at this moment and how it can add to the table decor, theirs is a great one to see how that works.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, you might just really like stationery.
Yeah.
Rather than flowers.
Exactly.
Or foliage.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, don't focus on the fact that you, oh, it's my wedding, I have to have some flowers and I spend lots of money.
Yeah.
Just spend it on the stationery instead.
Yeah. It goes back to
or
what
vice
we were
saying.
Versa. Yeah, like yeah. the vinyl centerpieces or the cut out acrylic centerpieces. You don't have to have florals. It's really what you want.
Yeah.
And the aesthetic you're trying to create.
Absolutely. So my sister, she had a hanging garden in her marquee.
Fascinating.
From the ceiling, mostly foliage, but it had sort of like peonies and things, but quite sparse so that it kept the cost down.
Yeah.
Therefore, her centerpieces were very large candles.
Yeah.
Surrounded by greenery.
Perfect.
Which were very inexpensive.
Yeah.
And that was what she wanted. Well, so as far as the marquee went, the look of it was, you know, lovely hanging garden, very luxurious.
I love that phrase.
But the reality of it was actually she really kept costs down by choosing that particular method of florals.
Yeah. So genius. Love it. Yeah. And as talking about centerpieces, just remember that sometimes less is more. You need to make sure you've got room for all the other stuff that you need on the table that we've talked about.
Like a knife and fork, because they're quite important.
Quite integral. Get creative with the heights that you're using on your table. And if you're getting stuck for ideas for decor, always think seasonally or back to things that make you happy.
Yes.
And that you enjoy as a couple.
Yes.
And I think we have waffled on for quite a long time. And now you've all got to go to the show notes and look at the 4,000 weddings that I've linked.
Oh my goodness. There are so many examples on there. You know, I mean, put aside an evening, get yourself a cup of tea.
That's the one.
And or glass of wine.
Yeah.
And or water, whatever you want.
Because you know you're hydrating to get that skin looking fresh for
That's
all your
it.
Photos.
That's it. And I mean, inspire away.
Yeah, go for it. Make all those notes and just have your day your way.
And we'll see you here in 2 weeks' time.
We will. Thanks again for all your feedback. Really appreciate all the DMs and all the emails. If you've enjoyed this episode or any of the other episodes, we'd love a little review on Apple Podcasts, if you wouldn't mind. A little 5-star rating. And thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Becky and Charlotte from Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. For more content, visit rockmywedding.co.uk, follow us on Instagram at rockmywedding, or buy the book Your Day Your Way from Amazon or any leading book retailer. This podcast is produced by We Are The Clarks.